Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio presents I Am You Radio.
Oh.
With your hosts, Beth Donnelly and Dogny Grant.
Whoopsie, that was our old show intro. That's so funny. Well, gosh, you know what? That is okay. It's a great reason to start the show laughing. And hello, everybody, and welcome to the Echoes of the Universe radio show brought to you by Matrix Productions. This is Dogny Grant, and my co-host, Beth Donnelly, and I love our topic today. As we all know, it is the kids coming up right now who are representing the future of our world. And we're learning so much all the time about ways that neural networks created in a child's brain during their childhood define how the adult mindsets are formed. And, you know, it's all so incredibly important. And science is really doing a lot of interesting work to reveal not only how that all works, but how we can kind of dance with that throughout the process of our lives. Science would tell us that there are phases to our human evolution, which in general terms are in 7-year cycles. That first 7 years of a child's life is one where literally every single moment of the child's environment and reality is being imprinted and absorbed and stored within the child as a basic condition that will define who they will grow up to be and become for the rest of their lives, unless, of course, those patterns are interrupted in some way. And pattern interruption is one of the things Beth and I love to study and practice, and we teach about it as well. It is the stage in that first 7 years of just absorbing kind of everything around them, right, where our habits, principles, our patterns, our experiences, our relationships with others, and our relationship with ourselves are all very strongly formed. These times for a kid can, of course, be defined in many different ways, from extremely traumatic to delightfully magical. And, you know, the more we can all learn to serve the well-being of our kids, the better off we all are going to be in the long run. So, yeah, it's a great topic, and this is one that you and I love to explore and even write about, isn't it, Beth?
Oh, it sure is, Dogny. I really love the way you say these experiences that children can have can be terribly traumatic or delightfully magical. And, of course, we wanted to talk about the delightfully magical experiences that we want to bring to our kids, and that everyone would want to bring, you know, joyful experiences to their children. And I have to say that, you know, for those of you tuning in and you saw the title, Raising Magical Kids, we don't mean by magical, you know, Harry Potter kids, although they may, you know, enjoy watching and reading Harry Potter, and that's fine, but we're not really talking about magic in that sense. And what we're talking about is expecting something wonderful to happen, and it does, or when you look for the good and you find it. And these are really magical experiences for kids. And in this discussion, we're kind of using the phrase magical kids to represent kids that are empowered and kind and courageous, and kids that have self-esteem and empathy for others. And when kids have these qualities in their lives, they become magical. And it's magical because most kids, and I dare to say maybe even some adults, do not really even know that they have the power to change their thoughts and their emotions to indeed change their lives. And when kids learn that, they become very magical.
Well, yeah, you know, it is a form of magic, I think, to a lot of people when they learn that being joyful is a choice. That it there that you don't have to go through your life as a victim. And it is challenging, I think, for folks if they were raised by someone with a strong victim mentality or someone who just was generally unhappy, to realize they don't have to carry on that pattern. And it is magical when you realize that you get to choose who you are and who you're going to, how you're going to act and react within the world, and that actually ends up mirroring back to you. That's kind of a funny thing too, because Beth and I talk about some people in the personal development world will talk about things mirroring back to you, or the law of attraction, or things like that, as a way to kind of market guilt and shame to people to sell products, and that, you know, why are you making yourself sick? Why are you making yourself broke? Or, you know, those kinds of things. And, you know, while quantum mechanics and all of that, and, you know, is very complex, the fact that our I am statements are generated as children, who we are, who we define ourselves to be. You know, obviously everybody understands at a deep, you know, internal level that any words that we accompany the two words I am with are how we are truly defining our being. If I say I am shy, that is who I'm going to present to the world. If I say I am stupid, or I am ugly, or I am brilliant, or I am, beautiful, I'm going to present myself energetically very differently to the world, and that's the world in my social circumstances, my church, my work, my relationships with my family, my friends. Everything will change depending on my I ams. If my I ams are I am depressed and I am a victim, then that is in fact the energy that we bring to a room that we need to be responsible for. And that's one of the things that is magical about what Beth and I have worked to teach kids, is that their I am statements are theirs to define. And there is great power in that, isn't there, Beth?
There is, and that's how the magic works. We kind of both believe that it's inspired. This magic is inspired. It's part of the child's inner being. It's part of all of our inner beings, and it's already with us at the very beginning. Unfortunately, sometimes through what Dr. was talking about at the beginning, the neural pathways are formed, and in a way that, you know, kind of blocks that beautiful, magical, inspired feeling that we all have as children. And then they can be, you know, either reinforced throughout their life, or they can be stifled. So I think to encourage this kind of inspired magic in the hearts of our kids is such a gift to them, and it's a gift to us too, as parents and godparents and aunts and uncles and as teachers. It's such a gift both ways, when you give it and when you receive it. And if we've never received it, we need to give it to ourselves and then pass it on. And I think Dodney and I have decided to, we have a kind of a list of statements that we think are really important in the life of a child, and in imagining how much happier, you know, teenagers would be if they learned these kinds of qualities and these statements. And we'd like to go through these statements during this radio show and talk about them specifically. And so I think I'll just move right into one of them, Dodney. A healthier self-image is something that we would really wish for our children. And I think it's a process of kind of helping your kids find confidence Because like Dogsy mentioned earlier, it's the choice factor that really can make a child feel comfortable saying, I am smart versus I'm stupid. I'm stupid. And so that confidence, that healthy self-image that a parent can instill to choose how they feel in their heart and know what's right for them, it's really, really important as they're growing up. And, you know, it's so tempting, I think, for parents to want to mold their children into, you know, a replica of themselves. And maybe sometimes that just unfolds that the child will do, you know, what the parent has done. And if it unfolds naturally, that's beautiful. But our dreams and goals are really not necessarily what our kids want. And so I think it's really important for not only instilling those good IMs in them, but for their ability to choose what they feel in their heart is what they were meant to do. So for me, that would be the definitely the beginning of a healthy self-image. What do you think, Dogny?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting to me that a lot of folks who don't kind of study this stuff like we do all the time, Beth, are not really even aware of the impact that they're having on the development of someone's life with their statements. When a parent says something flippant to their kid about them being dumb or them being fat or them being, you'll never be able to be a musician. You don't have that talent there, or a teacher to tell them that they're just not a very good reader, or they're not going to be good in math. They're just not good in math. That's, you know, they'll have to figure out, you know, take typing as a backup, or, you know, just, you know, these things. A lot of folks, I think, just don't even realize the impact that has on a person's self-image. And it's not just their self-image as a child. That creates in the brain neural pathways that literally drive our cars. I mean, it literally makes decisions for us as adults, things that we were told at a very, very young age, 3, 4, 5, 6, literally, those are the times that we determine who our identity is. And it's so fascinating how that all rolls out. Before I move on to what we want to talk about, empathy and the importance of empathy for kids to learn, and for adults to practice. But before I do that, we need to take a quick break, and we will be right back, everybody.
Are you looking for a book to boost your child's self-esteem and image? Listen to what 6-time Emmy Award winner and Nobel Peace Prize nominee Sean Duperin has to say about the Journey of Joy children's book series. She says, quote, "It's inspiring to find a children's book series that gets to the heart of why we're here and to enjoy life's journey. It is truly compelling. It reinforces your child's strong sense of self, the essence of what every parent wants for their precious child. I highly recommend," end quote. The 4 inspiring and beautifully illustrated books in the Journey of Joy children's book series, authored by Beth Donnelly and Dogny Grant, can be found on Amazon.com. Sharing the wisdom of positive I am statements, these books are titled I Am Enough, I Am Unique and Awesome, I Am Great, and I Am Brave. Pick up a set for the children in your life today. Just go to Amazon.com and enter Journey of Joy Series. That's Journey of Joy Series.
That music always makes me dance a little bit. You know, that's kind of fun. So, yeah, empathy toward others. One of the things that I think that we realize that kids experience and adults experience all the time is a lack of empathy. And the a lack of empathy is what causes bullying, right? It's what, when we can't experience what other people or even understand or be willing to consider what other people are going through, it creates a kind of a wall between us and the rest of humanity that is is fear-based. You know, it's like this wall made of fear that if we are empathetic toward others, we will somehow be negatively affected by that or weakened in some way. And none of that could be further from the truth. When we show empathy and compassion for people and kindness about what someone else is going through, it is actually expanding to our own experience and our hearts and our general positivity and joy in our own lives. And so it's actually being empathetic can be kind of selfish, actually, if that's how one might like to look at it. It's kind of interesting. And so bullies at school, for example, for kids, you know, just talking about kids, are generally just not happy. You know, I don't think anybody who is truly feels good about themselves and is feeling happy themselves would ever treat someone else with unkindness and brutality. And so even empathy towards our enemies, our bullies, is really important. So so that's a, you know,
it's
an important
very,
lesson.
It's very important, Dagny. And I'm glad you brought that up about it. And not being weak, it actually is a strong quality. It shows great strength to be empathetic. And I think empathy for others is really such an amazing trait to discover, because when kids, or even when we, for that matter, walk in another person's shoes, so to speak, we realize what they're going through. We see and we feel what they might be feeling. And we kind of suddenly are able to understand their point of view. And that's so monumental in solving problems. It's usable in discussions about religion, ethnicities, money, opposing points of view, you know, that you have maybe with friends in school and as we grow up. And when we grow up, we have the same problems in the boardroom, in business, and, well, certainly in political situations and in the world. So if we develop this quality, this amazing, amazing trait called empathy as a child, imagine how much easier that's going to be when we grow up and we actually can look at another person and know what they're going through and feel it. You know, and people without empathy seem to have great distress in coping with anyone who has an opinion that's different than their own. So you see that a lot in adult communication. And so I think it's a great quality to instill in our children. And I hope that it's something that kids will realize is a strength and not a weakness.
Yeah. Yeah. And that it's a choice, just like joy is a choice, like we were talking about earlier, that
mm-hmm.
any of these kinds of emotions we choose to exhibit and experience are a choice. Empathy is a choice. Being playful is a choice, right? Being willing mm-hmm. to just be silly sometimes is a choice. And what a great one, you know? It's someone being a silly heart. Oh, gosh, what is that John Candy, Uncle Buck movie? Where he meets with the school counselor or principal or whoever she is, and the woman calls the child, his niece, a silly heart. And it's like, well, I hope that my child, you know, that she's a silly heart. What are children supposed to be, silly and playful? And you know, I think our willingness to be childlike, one of the things that is, you know, I don't mean to be negative, but one of the things that really concerns me in this time in our history is that we medicate the childishness out of children. And I hope that we're turning that around. I hope that we're learning that just because children are high energy and are childlike doesn't mean we need to medicate them into submission. I think that we're coming around in that regard. But yeah, playfulness, you know, playfulness kind of is required in being present in the moment, that you're not allowing your mind to just kind of wander off in worry, that you're literally choosing to be joyful and silly and goofy, and these things are good. They're not only good for little kids, but they're good for adults, right?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, joy is really a choice that our inner spirit wants us to make, because that's something that's kind of inherent in us, and we just need to discover that. And children seem much better at it than we do. So it's kind of like we just need to encourage it, and then they'll find it. And also, for one thing, I think that if they do invest in this joy, and like Dagny was saying, it's kind of the in-the-moment experience, teaching kids to invest in this power, it can literally change their lives. Because we know as adults how troublesome it is when we get into these worrying states. And with a kid that invests in what their inner spirit wants for them, which is joy, which is a childlike appreciation for life, is really a choice that should be nourished very much by the adults in his life. So, and then I was going to move on to, because I think it's so related to joy as a choice. We talk about a lot finding our happy place, and we talk about that with reference to children, because we thought it was a really good way to describe actually what we mean when we say, you know, we are in alignment with who we really are. And so adults might say that they're in alignment. Kids might say they find their happy place. So I think that basically we can all do the same thing. We can take notice, or, you know, we can call it be mindful of our thoughts and our emotions, and then make a choice to either be happy or not. And happy, of course, is the preferred state. And as I mentioned, kids are very adept at imagining and redirecting and perceiving. You know, just put a golden retriever puppy in the room and see what happens. You know, they are totally into enjoying the moment. And if we can all, you know, concentrate on the puppy, so to speak, we go to a place in our mind that creates a really strong emotion of happy. And this emotion of happy is amazing. It's amazing. It can change how we feel instantly. And sometimes we need to do this first until we're ready to perceive, you know, whatever the bothersome situation is that's affecting us. Before we can perceive that in a different light, we might have to distract ourselves with a puppy or going outside or with doing something that we really enjoy. And kids can do that too. Sometimes they just need a little break, and like I said, they have a knack for finding these things all around them, their favorite toy or their animals or being outside running around. And I think with adults, we need to do the same thing, basically. We need to find something that's happy. We need to find our happy place. And then I think we all of a sudden are the frontal cortex of our brains are more receptive to creative thinking, and then we're able to perceive how to handle a bothersome situation in a new light. But, you know, it's all still basically our choice. It's the kids' choice, and it's our choice. The fact that we have this ability to redirect our thoughts and emotions is the magical thing.
Yeah, again, with the magical, it's magic when we realize that it's a choice, that we can, we are always, every day, all day, no matter what we're experiencing, again, no matter what we're experiencing, we are choosing how we feel about it and how we are going to react to it, how we act and react. And sometimes we may make a choice to lash out. Sometimes we may make a choice to stand firm on a feeling and a belief that others disagree with. And these are all choices that are also based on that series of neural pathways about what we believe and, you know, to be our truth that we've, you know, that we've gained our whole lives. We've certainly learned a lot of that in this most recent political season, where there are, you know, numerous people that have very strong feelings that are different from each other. And each are acting and reacting to news stories very differently. The importance there is that none of us are forced to act or react in any specific way. We do get to decide. And once we figure out how to identify how we're feeling about something, and a lot of people don't even know. They just know they're angry or whatever. But once we, you know, learn to identify our negative feelings, then we can kind of figure out how we want to, manage that, to change our thoughts and how we react to any given situation or experience. It's an empowering thing to not, while you may be reacting with intention and what you perceive to be strength, it doesn't necessarily have to be negative or mean or fearful, right? Because it's fear. One of the things that Beth and I talk about a lot in our work is that things seem to be kind of based on one side of polarity or the other, some version of that, and that's love or fear. And that, fear can include things like grief or depression or anger or anxiety of some kind, right? And love, of course, has a whole wide range of emotions as well that is associated with it. And so once we learn to kind of stop and feel our feelings, I think a lot of people don't stop to actually feel their feelings and are not mindful about what they're thinking and feeling and experiencing, and are just kind of robotically going through our days as if the world is happening to us. And oftentimes the world is just reacting to us and how we've chosen to behave. And once little kids can kind of understand that they can take responsibility for how their world is going in many ways, that is really freeing and really magical. And, you know, that kind of only comes by kind of focusing on our heart center, our gut and our heart, and actually really feeling and listening rather than just kind of reacting mindlessly and without intention. It's all kind of intense, but it's great stuff. It's a real gift.
Stuff.
But with that gift comes responsibility too. So,
And I like what you were saying about, you know, there's a huge difference. It's reaction or action. You know, what's it going to be? Something that you don't like has happened in your life. You know, are you going to be mad or annoyed or jealous or even mean? You know, that's a choice. You can make that choice. Or you can be happy, excited, delighted, and kind in response to the same circumstance. That's our choice. Say, for example, somebody got a part in a play and you wanted it. You could react in either of those ways. You have a choice. We don't have to be guided to emotional negativity by what's happening around us. In fact, you know, if we take responsibility, which is what Dogney was just saying, responsibility for our vibration, and that's the vibration of positive energy, hopefully, that we want. If we take responsibility for that before we start our day and bring it with us wherever we go, we're way ahead of the game. And that's kind of the training that we had in mind for how we guide our kids. And I think the whole being present in the moment needs to be brought up a little bit about this, because in order to be able to make that distinction, to make that decision on how you're going to be reacting to something, if you're going to react or you're just going to act in a way that's positive or or fall back on negative. That, again, is your choice. But if you have conditioned your mindfulness to be present in the moment, and we can, first of all, I just have to say that I think in the moment is such a of our transformational evolution. We can so disregard it and be in a state of discontent or worry, or we can take the road less traveled and notice the daisies, so to speak. I mean, that's the training I was thinking about when I was thinking about giving this to your kids to enjoy. They can notice the daisies. They can notice the frog or the caterpillar or the water at the beach and jump in the waves. You know, they can sing like a rock star in their room and enjoy every minute. So what your kids learn to do is going to stay with them. They're going to start forming neural pathways that give them the opportunity to notice the difference between the kinds of choices that they make. If it's something negative, they're going to notice that difference. It's not going to feel like something that's coming from inside their heart. If it's a positive choice, it's going to make them feel like they are being guided by their inner spirit. And that's the kind of thing I think that why being present in the moment and enjoying the whole idea of action and being there at a specific time. And for goodness sake, you know, as adults, we need to do that too. Don't forget to look at the moon. Oh my goodness, there's so many moments to enjoy. Enjoy them all. And if we get our mind used to this kind of enjoyment, this kind of placement of our emotions, it's going to be much easier. When things happen around us that are chaotic, and then we have to make a choice, we're going to know how to do that choice. And that's why I think it's so, so important to give kids this kind of information at a very young age. And I know there's something else that Dogni and I talk about a lot too, is that when bad things happen, and bad things do happen, you know, we're not saying that there are never situations where we should not be sad or mad. In some circumstances, we may need to allow, you know, feelings to surface and recognize them, but not let them jeopardize our emotional state for long periods of time. You know, and kind of just look at them like clouds in the sky and let them float by. And we even make reference to that in one of our books. But I think it's such good advice. And so it's a choice thing again, and it's the conditioning of your mind and your mindfulness that can work so well for you.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that. Yeah, because I was just going to say the exact same thing, that we're not in Beth and I, the work that Beth and I do and in writing with kids and in coaching is not about being in denial of our sadness or being in denial that things happen that cause us to grieve or to feel, you know, constricted on occasion. They do. Contrast is intended. You know, life is not all supposed to be just one long party. That's not, you know, it's filled with all kinds of different experiences, and we're supposed to feel them all. It's a question of how do we handle disappointment? Do we go through our whole life then being victimized and sad and mean, or do we allow the, you know, our feelings to, our grief to happen, and then, you know, let it pass, like Beth said, like a cloud in the sky. Notice it, feel it. That's great. Talk about it, cry, but allow it to pass. Don't hold on to it like it has to be your new identity, because it doesn't. And I think, you know, life is supposed to be fun. As a general rule, life is supposed to be good, and so a lot of that is about our allowing, and that's learning to allow can be really an interesting challenge for some folks who have not been taught that throughout their entire childhood, you know. It's an interesting thing when it's a new concept for some folks.
Yeah, that's true. And the question, how to listen for the answer in your heart, is a good one. And I think that's something else we have to teach our kids. As a parent, you know, I feel that when we're given children to teach, to mentor, or to raise, we're also given the privilege of learning from them. And I don't know about you guys out there. I'm sure you do, too. I learn from my son every day that we talk. And, of course, I like to think he learns from me, too. But when a child is young, and even into their teens, you know, we give them rules and guidance to protect them. But, you know, one of the best things that I've realized that we can give them is the confidence to look inside their hearts for the answers. Answers that are going to serve them in living a more joyful life. It's going to give them a feeling of integrity, you know, and a feeling of awesomeness for their own unique individuality and their own abilities. And when they can feel that, they're going to have the answers inside. And they're going to need it, too, because they're going to have to make some decisions and choices that may be different from the crowd. You know, kids at school, friends doing things you don't agree with, they're going to need to be able to stand up for their own principles and in their own integrity. So it's a real important part, I believe, in sharing this with your kids and making them feel like they have that ability. Give them that confidence to look inside their heart. It's there.
Yeah, and even if your parents, you know, if your parents weren't happy, and your parents were kind of mean and fearful, and just, you know, you didn't have a great childhood because you had, you know, all this weirdness going on. There's a lot of folks out there who had really rotten childhoods, and we don't have to carry that forward into the rest of our lives. There are ways we can reconcile all of that and release it with love. And we hope that our work can assist some people in attaining those results. And as you know, as we start with the kids who are seedlings and are just now developing their roots for their upcoming life as it unfolds, you know, it's our hope that we can be of some service to them as well. So, hey, you know, thanks everybody for tuning in today. We really appreciate it. Again, this is just a topic that Beth and I love, and you know, kids are what's, you know, they're going to be taking over this planet, and there are our relationships with the rest of the globe and you know, and the universe as we know it. And so it's important stuff, and we appreciate you tuning in and sharing that with us. We'd love it if you commented and let us know what thoughts you might have on this topic.
Yeah, that would be great. We'd love to hear your comments on our Facebook page. And that's probably where you click to come in to listen to the show and tell us how.
Yeah, well, you can comment actually. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Or you can actually comment on the Blog Talk site where you're listening to the show. There are places where you can comment below the show where you're listening as well. So a lot of folks don't use that, but please feel free to. We'd love to hear from you.
We sure would. Help the kids in your life find that inner light, and you'll find it too.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you again.
So thanks again, everybody. Hopefully you'll check us out again next week on Echoes of the Universe Radio Show, brought to you by Matrix Productions. And until then, peace, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Echoes of the Universe. Join us again for conversations that inspire you to realize your endless possibilities. Same time, same station, same universe.